From the 913, Harrison Butker is a Werther's original. The Three Musketeers, McDuffie, Cook, and Reed.
That's a good one. I like that. I like a good Three Musketeers bar, too. It's light. It's airy. It's you know, it's fine. You know, it's there.
That is all reference to our last topic. If you missed it, podcast page is available. But also, if you missed it, we did say which players remind us of which candy, because today is Halloween.
National Halloween Day for everybody, right?
National Doorbell Day.
Why is Harrison Butker the Werther's original?
I don't know.
I mean, the Werther's
old
original
white, would be... Old white women love him?
I mean, like...
I don't really know, I'm
trying to think, like, why Harrison... Like, it's usually for an old person because they carry Werther's in their pocket, right? Like, who's the oldest guy on the Chiefs right now? Is it Kelsey?
Winchester?
Is it Winchester?
That was my thought, too.
Like, Winchester or Kelsey? They're probably the Werther's original. Actually, Andy Reid is 66. You know he's carrying Werther's originals and those strawberry candies you used to get at Hickory Farms. Like, Andy's got that stacked on his desk right now.
I think Andy Reid's just the original M&M.
Is he? Just
doesn't
perfect?
Doesn't blow you away. You're not turning it down.
Right.
You can put it in other things and it makes it good. Popcorn, trail mix, whatever.
Isn't that like ooh, I'm eating trail mix. It's healthy. It's got M&Ms in it.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Like peanuts, salted peanut. I know you don't like the sweet and savory type thing.
I do like trail mix, though.
But trail mix is good. Like, well, you get some of those craisins in there.
Yes,
you get a peanut. You get an M&M.
Sunflower seed.
Maybe you get a little shaving of coconut. I mean, like, it's really good.
We did this one night in After Hours, and I got absolutely blasted for it. I think the raisin is the best part in trail mix.
Oh my god.
But, I know.
Well, I like raisins. Yeah. I really like the golden raisins myself.
Just the original with the lady on the front and the little red box where they're all mounted together.
Yeah, but raisinettes can kick rocks. Like, I'm not a raisinette fan. I'd rather be a goober fan than a raisinette fan. But you're right. Like, the raisinette in trail mix, if you mix it with the chocolate and the peanut, it works.
You think Spags belongs in the Hall of Fame?
If
he wins a three-peat?
Yeah, but here's the thing. They don't put assistants in, right? And I stumbled upon this story yesterday, and I went, hang on a second here. If we're not putting assistant coaches in, why are we considering the guy who founded Stats, Inc. for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Because he's one of the 9 finalists this year in the contributor part of the Hall of Fame. And one of these 9 guys will make it into the Hall of Fame, and the people are Bud Adams, who owned the Titans Oilers franchise, Rock Chalk Jayhawk to him. Mm-hmm. Somebody named Ralph Hay. Do you know who that is? He founded the NFL. The guy who founded the NFL is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Interesting.
How that's possible?
Lamar's
I don't know.
In, right? That's
of
a dumb
course,
question.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
That's
I mean,
a dumb question.
Then you got some guy named Frank Bucko Kilroy, a former player who spent 5 decades as an NFL executive. Great, won a Super Bowl. Robert Kraft.
Years? You can't say that. You say 5 decades.
Yeah.
What sounds better? 5 decades or 50 years? Like, 50 years is pretty badass.
5 decades is pretty good.
Like,
though,
would you
too.
Rather be like, I'm Bob Fesco and I did 5 decades of radio, or be like, I'm Bob Fesco and I did 50 years of radio?
I don't know.
Give me the 50 years.
50 years or 5 like, decades. Like, I don't know. Both sound
like I'd rather
like, wow.
be like, I've done it for 2 decades instead of 20 years. That's where the decades thing to me sounds better.
Okay.
Like, oh, I've done this for 2 decades. Like, oh, wow.
Damn,
okay.
50 yeah. years? Yeah. I mean, maybe 50. Like
5
50,
decades?
Yeah, 50 is
effed.
Like, wow. Yeah.
I'm like doing the math. I'm,
so,
yeah.
So then you got Robert Kraft, Art Modell, Art Rooney Jr., somebody named Seymour Cywolf.
Who's Seymour Butts?
He's not on this. But
no one's Seymour Butts than you, Uncle Tony.
Yeah. Seymour Cywolf, the former owner and president of Elias Sports Bureau, Doug Williams,
yeah.
and then John Wooten, who won a Super Bowl as director of pro scouting for the Cowboys from 75 to 91. So the guy who founded Elias Sports Bureau is one of the 9 people in that group who was eligible in the contributor class for the Hall of Fame. Yet we don't honor assistant coaches in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for whatever reason. And
why do we have to call them assistants? Why do we just call them coaches?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, right. Because they have head coaches in, but like, there's no assistant coach wing.
And he was a head coach, so it's
I
like,
know, but he was very bad as the Rams head coach.
Won a title.
Not as the Rams head coach.
He barely won a game as the Rams head coach. For the Giants, he was a defense coordinator.
Yeah, so if you got these contributors for the Hall of Fame and you're going to put one in, how the founder of the NFL isn't in is beyond me. Like, I don't understand that one at all. But if we're allowing owners and a guy who created the Elias Sports Bureau and some other randos that maybe you may or not have heard of for the Hall of Fame, then we need to start adding these great assistant coaches to the mix. And I'm sure Binkley can back me up, and I'm probably forgetting somebody. But for me right now, it's hard to argue against Steve Spagnuolo being the greatest assistant coach of all time. And for a couple of different reasons. Number one, he's won multiple Super Bowls, right? He's done it with multiple organizations. Mm-hmm. And then the most important thing that Steve Spagnuolo has ever done was to beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots when they were undefeated that year and came up with the perfect defensive scheme to stop the greatest franchise that we've ever seen in the NFL up until that point and did not allow them to score more than 10 points in a Super Bowl game, and they won it. I mean, to me, his resume speaks for himself. And so I never knew about this contributor part or how this thing goes in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I'm looking at it now and I'm like, we've got to start adding assistant coaches into the mix because Steve Spagnuolo is a Hall of Famer. He's more of a Pro Football Hall of Famer, in my opinion, than just about anybody else. Like, what did Robert Kraft do? Had a couple of bucks and bought a team, right? And lucked out by getting Tom Brady in the sixth round.
Revamped the Patriots.
But he did that because he got lucky with Tom Brady. Like, if you don't have Tom...
They were good with Parcells, though.
They were about ready to move, okay? They were getting ready to relocate to St. Louis. People forget that. Bob Kraft owned the stadium, wouldn't let the owner out of the lease. He had to sell the team to Robert Kraft. Very good businessman, right? Did some good things, obviously, with the Patriots. But Hall of Fame category
and there's
versus...
your answer.
I know.
Right
but,
there.
But I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the Hall
right.
of Fame. But when Steve Spagnuolo's career is all said and done, if this team three-peats mm-hmm. and he's won three Super Bowls here in Kansas City in a row and one other, that's four, plus the Giants, that's five, mm-hmm. shutting down Tom Brady... How do you not put Steve Spagnuolo into the Hall of Fame? So I think we start to have to revamp when we talk about Hall of Fame and who belongs in the Hall of Fame. We have to start factoring in guys like Steve Spagnuolo that do deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Side combo. How many Hall of Famers are on the Chiefs roster right now?
You've got Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Harrison Butker. I think Trent McDuffie is trending that way. He's not yet because it's not been long enough.
DeAndre Hopkins
probably yeah I think so I would say 6.5
Clark Hunt
right now.
Does he make it
as
an owner? Do they get in
if they three-peat? I think he
Bob
probably.
Kraft's in the Hall of Fame. You can have an argument for Clark Hunt.
Yeah you could, but Kraft isn't in yet, which I give them credit for not putting him in quite yet. I mean, you know, you put Clark
in.
Yeah, he's mentioned. He's a finalist. You know. I think it's too early to talk about Clark Hunt, but if they three-peat, people are going to be talking about Clark mm-hmm. Hunt. And I don't know. Brett Veach is a Hall of Famer. Brett Veach is a Hall of Fame general manager.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many GMs on the top of my head are in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know either.
So I don't know if that's an honorable mention for them.
And maybe in this contributor segment, you know, as well. But, I mean, you asked who I think should be in the Hall of Fame. I think 6.5 players, and then you've got Brett Veach, maybe Clark Hunt gets in, and, you know, some of those folks. But I think right now you probably have 6.5 players because I'm still on the fence on Trent McDuffie because his career hasn't been long enough yet. Like, if his career ended today, he's not a Hall of Famer, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes, after 2 or 3 years, he was.
Kelce, Jones, Mahomes, Andy.
Butker.
You think Butker's in?
Oh, God, yes.
For sure?
He's one of the greatest kickers of all time.
Okay, so that's five.
Is the best.
Yeah. Five for sure.
Yeah, and then DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is a Hall of Famer.
So you had 6 Hall of Famers right now.
Yeah.
Somebody says from the 816, terrible argument. You're going to say Bill Belichick is only going to the Hall of Fame because he was lucky enough to draft Brady, too. No, he's talking about Robert Kraft.
I'm talking about Robert Kraft. Yeah,
Bill Belichick is a surefire Hall of Famer.
He's one of the winningest coaches, the second winningest coach of all time.
Yeah,
we'll be the third once Andy passes
argument.
Him.
Thanks
yeah.
for listening, Mike.
Yeah.
Free mattress at South 49 on I-70.
Nice.
Hey.
4 mile marker. Looks like pillow therapeutic queen Ooh, to king mattress.
That's a good one. That's a good free mattress for you.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think so. We have 6 Hall of Famers on this current Chiefs team.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you think it's more?
No, I think that's a good number. Yeah. I think that's a great number.
I mean, actually, it's a great number. I mean, when you think about it, 6 players on this team and the coach are going to the Hall of Fame.
I use this like the same analogy as like watching high school football. Like when a team is super dominant and then you look at it, you're like, yeah, they have 6 Division I kids on their team. Like most high schools, not most, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but like there might be 3 Division I athletes.
Maybe
they got a quarterback, a receiver, and then there's like a guy that plays defense. Like there's like, yeah, they had 3 D1 athletes. Like I remember growing up in, you know, the early 2000s watching Blue Springs Rockers, Blue Springs South, Liberty, Oak Park, all those teams. Like, yeah, Oak Park has Michael Keenan. He's a D1 athlete. Blue Springs has these seven. That's why they're 7-0 and they're going to go to state every year. Right. Rocker, same way.
But
so.
You can't penalize a team for like high school's different. You're not, well, now it's, you know, who knows. But with the NFL, like, you can't penalize because they know how to draft and say, well, they're only good because they got good players. Yeah, they got good players because they've got good scouts. They've got a good general manager. They know how to draft. They got good coaches. Like, you can't penalize teams for that.
Our guy, Ben Maller, on the other side, joins us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back up here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty. You can check us out on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all those things. Put us on your TV, put us on your phone while you're getting ready for work. Somebody mentions Joe Tooney is a Hall of Famer.
I'm here for that. I mean, absolutely here for that.
Is Brian Waters in?
Should be.
I feel like that's the same argument.
Yeah, but I'm here for both of those guys.
Now, Tooney's won a ton of rings. Brian Waters, I think, won one in New England. I could be wrong.
Did he get one at the end there?
I thought maybe he got one in New England.
Why should that matter, though?
No, I'm talking about Brian Waters.
Did he win one at the end of New England?
I know he went to New England. I don't know if they won it, though.
I don't know if he, but like.
That sucks if he's on that undefeated team.
No, he was not on that team because he was
here. So that was 07.
Yeah, because he was here with Pioli and Haley for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. He's the most solid human being. Like you pat that guy on the shoulder. You're like, oh my God, this guy. Like, he was unbelievable. You know, he was a defensive lineman for the Jets or the Cowboys that was never drafted. Came here to Kansas City. They moved him to the offensive side. I think he became, you know, next to Will Shields, the best guard that this franchise has ever seen.
Right. Speaking of a solid human being, missed him last week. Vocal cords were a bit out. Got to protect that voice, baby. But our guy, Ben Maller, he'll join us now.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, World Series champion on Fox Sports Radio. And of course, you can catch him overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And that's where we're going to be next Saturday, Ben. We're going to fly into town. You're going to go to The Landing in Liberty. We're going to have some fun. And then we're going to hit the Chiefs game the day after. So the Mallerpalooza is headed to KC.
I cannot wait. Listen, I'm counting down the days on my phone, my smartphone here to the Maller meet and greet. And we're going to do it in the afternoon. People have been asking me, guys, they've been like, when are you going to do it? You know, we're bringing your show and my show together. It's like a great TV show partnership, in this case, radio, obviously. But we're going to meet at 2:00 till 4:00. On that Saturday before the Chiefs play the Broncos. So a week from Saturday, we'll be there, eat a lot of chicken fingers. We're going to hang out, tell stories we can't tell on the radio, and just have a great time. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. I know some of my guys are flying in from around the country. I have a listener from Tennessee who's going to be flying in. But I want to meet all the listeners. All you guys that have been listening over the years here on The Fan. Because now we're on FM. You guys are big time on FM. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. Week from Saturday, come one, come all, and we'll be there at least 2 hours. Maybe we'll stay longer. Who knows? But at least 2 hours. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to you wearing your world championship hat. But, I mean, more importantly, how do the Yankees recover from that fifth inning? I mean, that was I've never seen a meltdown like that in professional sports. That's Buckner times 10.
Yeah, that's you know what reminds this is an outdated reference. Remember in football when Ernest Biner fumbled with the Cleveland Browns? That's an old school reference. Look it up on the internet against the Broncos. But yeah, for Aaron Judge, he's the captain. He set the tone for the Yankees by butchering the ball in the outfield, and then Volpe makes the error. We were texting during the game, and it's like, you know, it did not look good for the Dodgers. The Yankees had the game in the bag, and they cut open the bag, and I don't think you recover from that right away. If this was the old Yankees, they would fire Aaron Boone today. He would be fired. Brian Cashman would be fired. But it's not. I mean, the Yankees are run by the kids, and the kids will be like, well, you know, it's not his fault and all that stuff. But this is going to haunt Aaron. This is going to haunt Aaron Boone. It's going to haunt Aaron Judge. And the Yankees also have a problem where Juan Soto is, you know, he's got one foot out the door. He's got a wandering eye, and he's looking around. He's like, whoever offers him the most money, he doesn't care about winning. He wants the money. I get it. He wants the bag, so he's willing to leave the Yankees. He would sign with the White Sox if they offer him more money. He doesn't care.
So where do you think he does end up? Because it was funny, after the game, they asked him, he goes, every team's available. 18-1 odds to come to Kansas City. I'm pushing for Juan Soto to be a Royal, Ben.
Well, if we can get him to come to the landing and get him on Saturday, next Saturday, we'll have him have the Ben Maller chicken fingers. And a lot of people don't understand this. I've tried to explain the reason that the Chiefs have been so good and Andy Reid so happy is because of the chicken fingers at the landing with my name on them. I think Juan Soto ends up with the Mets. I mean, that would be the ultimate get back by Stephen Cohen, the owner of the Mets. The Mets were in the NLCS. They got a lot of money to burn. Soto would fit perfectly in that lineup. He gets to stay in New York. You get to stick it to the Yankees. Now, I've been told they always have this gentleman's agreement that they don't go out and get the other team's players, the Mets and Yankees. I've heard that over the years. But I say fooey to that. I mean, this is a big-time player, and you get him for the next 10 years, he's going to sign one of those $500 million contracts. That's the thing, guys. Like, Bob, you know, with the Nationals, Juan turned down $300 million. With the Padres, he turned down $400 million. So he's got to get $500 million minimum to make that work.
Keeping it kind of in the New York market, there's a funky game tonight, Ben. Houston and the Jets. And everybody here, besides Bob, because he's got it figured out, is trying to wrap their heads around why the Jets are favored in this game tonight, right? Like, Bob says the obvious, right? Houston is injured. Short week, travel, AFC matchup. But again, like, say it out loud. Like, do me a favor. Say it out loud. The Jets will beat the Houston Texans and make it make sense.
Yeah, I'll make it make sense because, as you just laid out, the Texans have no wide receivers. And Houston, by the way, has been even though they got a good record, they have not been a – I don't put them in that dominant category. They have a good record and all that. They've been basically played to the level of their competition for the most part this season. And it's going to be kind of a cool night in New York. And you got, you know, the Jets. This is the last go for the Jets, right? They're pretty much done already. But I do think they're going to win it. I think that it makes no sense. It's the NFL. But you put all the different variables with the injuries that the Texans have had. And the Jets, you know, who have been close, get embarrassed by the Patriots, which is an unforgivable loss.
Who are their wide receivers?
Well, they have the great Devontae Adams.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots. Well, they have no wide receivers. That is
exactly.
True.
They have Drake May. The Texans have C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell and Joe Mixon, but yet we're still saying the Jets will win.
Well, here's what you do, Dusty. Then you take your paycheck and you go down to the the casino and you let it all ride on the Texans.
Yes, sir.
And then you'll be eating cans of or bags of ramen. You'll be eating, but that's fine. You know, it's okay.
Ben Maller, our guest here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, next Saturday, he'll be at the Landing in Liberty with all of us from 2 until 4 hanging out. And we'll probably be talking about the Chiefs maintaining that undefeated status, winning this weekend against Tampa Bay, leading into that game against Denver. I mean, the odds are starting to look really good. Other than the Buffalo game, this team really could be an undefeated regular season football team.
Yeah, I'm not there yet because they'll have one week where it just doesn't work. Like, every team has that. Now, if they win that game where they shouldn't win, then okay, fine. But that they got to prove they can do that. But yeah, the Buccaneers, just like we talked about with the team from Houston, they don't have any wide receivers. Tampa Bay, as you guys I'm sure have talked about all week here with the injuries the Buccaneers have had. Although I do think that line is a little high. I could see a backdoor cover in that game on Monday night. But as far as the big picture for the Chiefs, yeah, as long as Mahomes is out there and the way the defense has played this year, they're going to have to lose the game. I don't think someone's going to beat them based on who's left on the schedule. I think they're going to have to be played down, underachieved for a week, which every team has those games. And if they can win those games, that one or two games where they don't play well at all, fine. But usually you lose one in the division, right? And somebody will get you in the division. And maybe that'll be the Chargers when you play them. I don't think the Raiders, I mean, forget about that. So, the Broncos are actually pretty good defensively. I don't buy their offense. So there's likely a loss somewhere in the division. But, boy, that'd be amazing. If they can go undefeated, my God, that would be the ultimate one-upmanship. All my friends in Boston will lose their mind if the Chiefs go undefeated and win the Super Bowl this year. That will trump everything that the Patriots, that was the one thing they couldn't do. They were undefeated during the regular season. We all know what happened. They lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. So if the Chiefs can do that, oh, man, that would be next level.
Yeah, even more salt for the wound. It was Spagnuolo that was the coach that beat him in the Super Bowl, which is now the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, which is just more fruit for our country.
Be careful. Be careful, though, Dusty. If the Chiefs win three Super Bowls in a row, don't you think he gets a head coaching job? I know he sucked as a head coach.
I think the theory is that he wants to just ride this out with Andy, and then they go into the sunset together. I think he's done it, right? Yeah. Like, it's like if you fail twice in marriages, why try for a third one, even if it is a pretty little trophy wife for you? Like, I've done it. I don't need to do it anymore.
But these guys have such big egos, you know. They're so, like, if one more shot. You know, if he gets the right opportunity with the right quarterback and he could ride the defense, but you'd rather win another Super Bowl and lose your defensive coordinator than the alternative, right?
Yeah, go undefeated and win three straight. I could die and never cover sports again, and I'll be like, I guarantee you none of you people out there will do what I just did.
Be careful. Dusty, you're a young guy. Be careful. You had a lot of life to live, Dusty.
That's right.
A lot of bad years as a sports fan.
Yeah, I'm not here for a long time, just a good time, to quote one Alan Jackson and George Strait. But in all reality, though, I do want to bring this up because we were talking about it yesterday on our show here on 96.5 The Fan, Ben. Do you think the NFL's, like, you know how it kind of changes, right? Like, you miss the NFL as an athlete for like a year, like, right? Like, Deshaun Watson missed the NFL for a year or two. He just never looked the same again. Le'Veon Bell, same sort of thing. You see the NFL kind of changing to a more defensive sound NFL and running the ball again, because your leading wide receiver going into week 9 has 674 yards, Ja'Marr Chase. May not have a 1,200-yard receiver in the NFL this year, whereas like the last couple of years, I think Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown had almost 1,000 by this time last year.
Yeah, so I don't. I mean, I eventually it'll get back to where, you know, some nerd will figure out some formula where you have to run the ball more and play defense. But we're not at that point. I don't think we're anywhere near that point. You just gave some of the numbers right there. So, I don't see that on the horizon. One thing I did hear a lot of talk about, I'm sure you guys did this week, is about whether or not the NFL should have a minor league because all these young quarterbacks are terrible. And I don't know if you've heard the same thing I've heard. I've always heard the NFL owners don't want to do it because they haven't found a way to make money on the minor leagues. They lost so much money with NFL Europe. And they also don't want to take away from the NFL draft, where right now you draft a guy in the first round, he goes out, plays right away. Well, if you have a minor league system, you would put that guy in, you know, Winnipeg or wherever, and then the guy would be in the minor leagues for a year or two. So they like it the way it is. But as far as the running thing is concerned, I know I got way off the topic, but I don't foresee in the next 2 or 3 years that changing at all.
Ben, before we let you go, obviously the Chiefs in Tampa this weekend. Any other big games you're saying, put your money here? I love this game.
Well, I actually like the Broncos plus the points if you're a gambler against the Ravens. The Ravens' defense is poor. It cannot stop the pass. And Denver actually has a pretty good defense. So I actually like the Broncos. That's the one game that stands out that just jumps off the page for me. So that's one. For everything else, you got to watch the TV show this weekend. Everything else.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. We're a week out from seeing you at the Landing next Saturday from 2 until 4. We're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to a great weekend of football as well.
Can't wait to see you guys. Can't wait to meet you. Come on down next Saturday. I can't wait for it.
That's Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty, and that's where we will be next Saturday from 2 until 4 for the Maller meet and greet. You get
chicken
the Maller
fingers.
Chicken fingers. Oh, they're so good. I was telling our
Mac
friend
Mac.
We're going
to lady the tramp him.
Mac, he what?
We're going to lady the tramp him.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah,
okay.
We're going to start at one end, dip
right
in honey mustard, meet in the middle.
Meet in the middle. That'll be great. I was telling him how good the dry rub grilled chicken tenders are at The Landing in Liberty. They are phenomenal. They've got the best soft pretzel you ever did have. And so we're looking forward to that next Saturday from 2 until 4. Join us at the Landing in Liberty. We'll be there. We'll have some fun with Ben Maller and do a Maller meet and greet. And then we're taking him to the game on Sunday to watch the Chiefs take on the Denver Broncos, who he likes against Baltimore this weekend because Denver's got a good defense. Baltimore has no defense. I thought that was an interesting one right there. I think people are starting to kind of
peek around the corner a little bit and go, is this Broncos team legit? Is this a real team right now? And they're playing a team with no defense. Bo Nix against Lamar Jackson. What happens if the Broncos win this football game against Baltimore? Will we still tell everybody that Lamar Jackson is better than Patrick Mahomes like Ryan Clark did yesterday? Or will people have to start retreating back to the bushes and go, oh, hang on a second, maybe we were too soon to crown the Baltimore Ravens?
I don't think any of those happen. I think what happens if Denver beats Baltimore, the conversation on Monday is the Chiefs have a legit threat in the AFC West since the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and they play them on Sunday, right?
Judging by what we see in the media every week, if Denver continues to play the way they are,
they're now 5-3, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the number one, I believe, outside of the receiver for the Cleveland Browns, Tillman, is that his name?
Cedric Tillman.
Yeah, I think he was the number one pickup fantasy-wise. Number two is Bo Nix.
Was Bo Nix. Oh, I thought you were going to say the Denver defense.
No, it's already been picked up.
Okay.
The Bo Nix, I think people are starting to kind of, not necessarily, he's a great fantasy value because he runs a lot. And he tries not to turn the ball over too much.
Sure.
So you don't get those negative points. But I think if Denver were to beat Baltimore, which Ben didn't say they would, he said take the points, meaning that he thinks Baltimore's defense will keep it close. I don't agree with that. I think this is one of those games where Baltimore bounces back, blows somebody out, and everybody's, like you said, back on the Baltimore train. Like, they just had a bad week. Cleveland riled behind Jameis Winston and all that sort of stuff, which could be the case.
Right.
But I think the conversation that you would have is the fact that if Denver wins, I think everybody would lean into that matchup, which would be Sunday in Arrowhead, is the fact that can the Denver Broncos knock off the Kansas City Chiefs and be the legitimate threat they are because Denver beat them last year, even though it was the flu game.
Right.
Mahomes was sick. Still like Kadarius Toney.
They played them tough at Arrowhead last year, though, too, on that Thursday night game.
Well, they just didn't put them away.
Yeah.
Like, it was like they just let them go hanging around. And, that's what Russell Wilson does. Like, he doesn't do a lot. Like, he looked good on their Monday night game. I'll give him that.
Yep.
But, like, one thing that Russell Wilson has done in his career last year and what we're seeing this year is that he throws for, like, 3 yards here, 4 yards here, 2 yards here, and by the time you get to it, it's like they still have the ball. They're not moving at a fast pace,
right?
But they're not giving you the ball. And I think we can have this conversation about the Chiefs is they don't give up points in the second half, and they control the time of possession. That's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts the way that they play in the second half. They don't give you an opportunity to win in the second half of games. They really don't give you an opportunity to win in the final three quarters of a game. You got to capitalize big time early and stop them if you're going to get a win. But I thought that's an interesting game, for our Cover 2 tomorrow. I'll probably discuss that Denver versus Baltimore game and how that one's going to be, you'll play out. Because if Denver does lose, then they're 5-4, and the Chiefs have a four-game lead over the rest of the division, right, or something like that. Four-game lead over Denver anyway.
Yeah.
At that point in time. And so then you can kind of write Denver off. But I'll be honest with you, I'd like to see Baltimore lose to the Denver Broncos. I think that's good for us, right?
I think yes.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
I think it's okay to root for Denver to beat Baltimore this weekend. I think because that just starts to clear out more and more of the muck from the AFC and continues to, propel us to that number one seed.
And to be fair, the Broncos lost their first two games of the season. They play the Seahawks and the Steelers.
Right.
Then they beat Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear that was a good.
That's
Tampa
a good
Bay
win.
Team
that was a
beat.
Good Tampa their team
one,
at the
their,
time.
Their yeah. one good win. It's a bottom five defense. It is their one good win.
They beat the Jets 10-9.
Right.
They beat the Raiders. They lost to the Chargers. They beat a beat up Saints team, and they smacked a Panthers team that should be in Division Two.
Right.
They've not.
And now their next three games are Ravens, Chiefs, Falcons.
Ravens, Chiefs. So you're going to learn a lot about Denver, right?
Welcome to the league.
They're going to be 5-6 in 3 weeks and out of the playoffs.
Very well may be at that point in time. But that doesn't take away the fact that I'm going to be rooting for them against the Ravens this
100%.
Weekend. Because you lose this weekend if you're Baltimore, you're pretty much eliminated from any conversation of being a one seed, let alone having a home game, in the playoffs at that point in time. So I'm rooting against Baltimore this weekend. And the other one we touched on, I was thinking about this, in the break, this Texans Jets game. Like, I am so torn because I feel like why are the Jets the favorite?
What have you spent the last 2 months doing?
Ripping them.
And who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah. And have you been right?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. But
stick with this. Bob.
I know. I understand. You're absolutely
stick
so you're saying bet the Texans
yes.
tonight. Like that's the scary part for me right now. I'm like, I know I've been right on this whole Jets thing all along. But what the hell, man? Like, what's going on with this point spread tonight?
We just had a topic. Like, you did the say it out loud with what's his face? Do it right now. Like, I talked to Ben Maller about it. Like,
yeah.
He's like, the Texans don't have any wide receivers. They do. They have Tank Dell.
Yeah.
They have Dalton Schultz as a tight end.
Yep.
They have Joe Mixon, and they have C.J. Stroud. And this Jets team just lost to Drake May and name a receiver
Fair
for the
point.
Patriots.
No, it's a great point.
They, and Ramondre right. Stevenson.
Right, you're right.
I know he's good, but Joe Mixon is better.
Right. Yeah, yeah, the Joe Mixon wild card is a good one, too.
C.J. Stroud is a top five quarterback
right.
in the NFL.
You're right.
If he's not, he's six.
This is the strangest game I've seen in a long time.
It's because it's Thursday and on the road.
And it's Halloween and it's scary and spooky. And you know, and it is on the road a Thursday
night. Aaron Rodgers is drinking
cayenne pepper water.
His hamstring isn't right.
Right.
I know he's got Davante Adams. He's got Breece Hall. He's had him. He's had Breece Hall this entire year.
That Jets defense stinks, too. 2 years ago, that Jet defense was good. This year, Sauce Gardner, man. What's the worst sauce you could have? That's what he is.
Nah, it's horseradish. Although I like horseradish.
I like horseradish. Like that horsey sauce from Arby's. Let's go.
Right. I was thinking about tricks and treats in the NFL like we talked about yesterday. Sauce Gardner, trick.
Yeah.
He's a trick, man.
He is, yeah. But
best corner in the NFL? No, you're not.
He was.
For the season.
For 2 years, he was. The last 2 years, he was up. This year, he's non-existent. This year, he's not making any plays. Like, that whole operation has given up. I mean, I'm talking myself, you know,
back
into the Texans.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, what the hell? What's going on?
Weird.
Like, the Texans have a better quarterback. They have a better head coach. They have a better running back at this point in time and probably a better defense. And they're playing for something. The Jets aren't playing for anything. Yet they're still a favorite in this game. And that's the conundrum, man. Like, why?
A lot of injuries for Houston.
You ready to tally on your sheet?
Yeah.
All right. Week one, Thursday night, home team one.
Okay.
Obviously, you know who that was. Chiefs.
Right.
Thursday night, week two, the away team won. Week three, the home team won.
Okay.
That was Jets and Patriots.
Okay.
Week four, the away team won.
Okay.
Week five, the home team won.
Okay.
Week six, the away team won.
Wow.
Week seven, the away team won.
Okay.
Week eight, the home team won. That was last week when the Rams won because of that call in the end zone.
Right.
This is Jets Houston. So what's our tally?
It's 4-4.
Damn.
I guess the road thing doesn't make a difference.
Does it clear anything up?
It makes no difference, man.
I'm just trying to help you win money.
Yeah.
Like the Texans are like, nah, man, Jets are winning. No, they're not. Like, they're not winning.
And that right there, the text line saying the Jets are winning at 2-6, I think that's why they're the favorite, because a lot of people still believe Aaron Rodgers. Like, you sit there and you look at it, you're like, it's still Aaron Rodgers. It's still Breece Hall. It's still, you know, Davante Adams. They still got some, you know, good wide receivers on that team. Like, they can't be this bad, can they?
But then
you have the New England Patriot defensive lineman calling out Aaron Rodgers. Like, that dude was slow, man. His hamstring was blown.
The line is still +1.5 for Houston as the underdog. That is minus 110. And the money line, if you're confident in Houston, is +105. Which is, if you think Houston's going to win, don't take the spread. Take the money line.
Yeah.
Take 105. Take the plus money.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll put him on the whiteboard before the day is over.
All right.
Wow.
You're going through that confident. See, the thing is, though, whether the Jets win or not, like, this is the, like, if they don't win, then they're eliminated. They're officially done. But there's still a compelling story. Like, it's still the most compelling story in the NFL. As much as we can't stand Aaron Rodgers and hearing from him, we all listen. We all pay attention. He always has something ridiculous to say and bizarre to say. And people are like, oh, yeah, cayenne. How many people were walking around getting cayenne pepper water yesterday trying to heal their hamstrings, right? So it's still compelling. If they lose their 2-7, they are done. They're out of the postseason mix, and they ought to sell everybody on their team. But if they win their 3-6, and people go, there's an outside chance, and that keeps the media in New York alive with the Jets and the NFL. Loves that.
Somebody says it has nothing to do with who's on the Jets. Vegas always knows. Never good to say Vegas is wrong. Vegas was very wrong last week.
On Thursday Night Football?
On just in the NFL.
Oh, in the NFL. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, that was bad.
Vegas lost a lot. Like, there was a lot of Vegas. Vegas probably does know.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody asked, who does the Houston Texans have on their defensive line? Possibly the defensive player of the year,
Will Anderson. Yeah.
And he's gonna be a shark in the water with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Will Anderson's going to eat that dude alive.
Oh, Rodgers is a statue. Everyone the whole week said he was cooked. He's done. This is coming from
Jets 37, Texans 2.
I mean, yeah. If I'm wrong, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But I feel we're all right. We get to our other favorite topic on a Thursday, smash or pass on the other side. Of course, it is Halloween themed. It is October 31st in Kansas City and in the United States. Happy Halloween, Kansas City. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, Monster Mash.
Is this the only Halloween song?
No. dude.
Come on.
There's some good ones.
I mean, it like, what else is it good? Like, every Halloween, this is the song you hear.
This is it. Thriller.
And then nothing else. Thriller's a good Halloween song. Yeah. Vincent Price's narration in that is some of the creepiest, like, narration you can get. It was.
What is this from?
Thriller.
Just like
it's just a song. It was just a song
in the
50s.
I'm watching it right now.
Dude, the video is creepy.
Is it?
Oh, the guy has weird eyes. He's like the whole time.
Is the video from the 50s too?
Oh yeah, it's black and white. Okay. He's like the whole time. He's like, duh.
Look at Halloween costumes back then. How terrible they were! It was like a mask made out of
wood. Worse than Ryan Clark going white face with Bill Belichick?
The Ryan Clark was
that's
creepy.
What he did. I'm sorry.
That was creepy. That costume, like, it didn't even really look like Bill Belichick.
No, it looked like Dave Chappelle's character is the white guy from the Chappelle Show.
I mean, it was bad.
It was scary. Dave.
Like, I looked at that costume. I'm like, eh.
Like, that's one where you look in the mirror and you're like, you know what? I think we're just going to go as Ryan Clark today.
I don't know if you guys ever watched Everybody Loves Raymond back in the day, but it reminded me of when Raymond, like, when they did a back in time sequence type thing, and Raymond was like his dad, and he dressed like an old man. That's what that looked like to me. If you go look up Everybody Loves Raymond, Ray Romano goes and like dresses like his dad in a way back episode. It was
R.I.P.
like, yeah, they're all dead on that show now. Well, not all, but the parents are dead. All the parents are dead on that show. The woman who talked to him in the high voice, Georgia O'Keefe, I think her name was. Then the guy who was in all the why am I drawing a blank on his name with the Second Wind movie?
Well, speaking of Frankenstein, the dad,
he's
Everybody
dead.
Loved Raymond was Frankenstein, or he was the monster.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
putting on the Ritz.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the girl in that movie just passed away yesterday. What was her name?
Terry Garr.
Yeah, Terry Garr.
Yeah, Terry Garr passed away. Yeah, right. 79 years old. Shout out Terry Garr.
That's a good life.
Yeah,
it's a solid life.
It is. It's a nice life.
So Smash or Pass, right? This is when we do this on Thursdays around 7:45, 7:50. I did look up what is the most popular Halloween candy. Chocolate is America's favorite Halloween candy.
Okay.
With America, with Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, once again, the top choice in an overwhelming majority of states.
Yeah.
According to data from Instacart, the big picture, the chocolate peanut butter candy was the top selling candy in 40 states based on Instacart grocery sales last year.
Okay.
So 40 of the 52 states, that's a win.
About the 52 states, huh?
Yeah, 50 states. 51 states. How many states are there?
50. They're 50, Dusty. That's that Missouri education for you.
Look where it got me.
Where?
Here. How you doing?
Your 37-year-old man doesn't know how many states there are. Welcome to Missouri.
I'd rather be from Missouri than New York.
I know. I wouldn't want to be from New York either.
Yeah. So anyways, smash or pass?
Smash.
Smash.
Number one. Candy corn.
Pass.
Mac loves it. Mac and Spec love candy corn.
Smash.
Like, I told Spec, I was like, that's a terrible take.
Like, if they're there, I'll eat them, but I'm not going to go, like, seek them out.
Tastes like wax, man.
It's not bad with a peanut.
You said in our Instagram video that it melts down to candle wax.
It does. But, like, if they're there and you're hungry, you're like, eh. But I'm not buying candy corn.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not going to the store when I buy candy and think, like, oh, I need some candy corn. But if it's there in the bowl, I'm totally smashing it.
You are.
It's great. I like it.
All right.
But I would agree. I'm not seeking, like, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups candy corn. Come on. What are we talking about?
Right.
Yeah. Peanut butt. 52 states. Tough subject for me here.
Yeah.
You're having a rough text morning. Line, lean into it. Lean into it. It's fine. I'll own it.
Peanut butt was great.
Yeah. Candy corn is like eating crowns.
Crowns?
Yeah.
What the hell are crowns?
Here we go.
Man, a text line's coming to defend your boy.
You?
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I've seen a lot of studies state that there are 51 states, counting Puerto Rico.
The Puerto Rico is not a state.
Territory.
Well, yeah, that's like your opinion, man.
If you don't know that there are 50 states in the United States and you're an adult living in the United States, eject. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Eject at this point in time. Find something else to do.
Pumpkin seeds. Smash or pass.
If you roast them with salt, like a lot of salt.
I thought it was cinnamon.
Oh, I've never done it with cinnamon before.
But I thought it was cinnamon.
I've done both. I've seen both.
Really? Yep. Yeah. If you do it with salt, I'm in on it. But yeah, if not,
I want to do them, but it's just like, it's very... A lot of due diligence in that. You got to like pull it from the thread of the guts.
Yes.
You
got to
clean them all off. And then they just like, it's like you're eating stale something.
Right.
But I mean, I like that. Like I have a mouth fixation.
Yeah, that's the pumpkin seed to me. As long as they're salted and roasted to perfection and they're crispy, I'm in. But you give me a soggy pumpkin seed, I'm out. And I'm not working for it either.
What's the next one, Mac?
Caramel apple suckers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Explain to me what this is.
What is that?
So, you know the sucker that has the green wrapper and it's like the base of it is green apple and then the outside there's like caramel on it?
I don't know that I've ever had those.
The only one I'm thinking of is like the Blow Pop.
But yeah, I'd be in on something like that.
So there's like caramel over the green apple hard, green apple sucker, and then they have caramel over the top. So as you eat it, the caramel and the apple kind of blend.
Yeah. No, that sounds good.
And then the caramel eventually deteriorates because you've eaten it all, and then it's just like what you're left with is a little bit left of a green apple. You can't eat just one. Like you'll go through them.
Okay.
You look like a cig.
Are they like at 50% off tomorrow? Can I get them on sale?
I don't know. They're kind of November-ish too.
Okay.
So kind of on that.
All right. Yeah, tomorrow
is
Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow is the big day where all the candy's 50% off.
Oh God, yes! And all the Christmas music's playing, and everybody has their tinsel up.
Thanksgiving's gone.
Yeah, you're right. Like, people don't even want Thanksgiving. It's like the best holiday of the world. And then you got it's rush Christmas. Even though I've already seen Christmas decorations up since July.
Oh yeah. What's the next one, Mac?
Popcorn balls?
Not a fan. I'm not either.
Not a huge fan of these.
I always hated the fact that people gave those out.
I don't know if
so they look like a softball, but they're like sticky popcorn ball.
Yeah.
It's like a Rice Krispie treat, but it's like a sweet, salty.
Yeah, and I love popcorn, but it's always like stale, bad popcorn. I'm out.
What about cider? Do you count that as like a Halloweenish?
I could have had donuts down in Lewisburg and cider.
Hell yeah, man.
But have you seen the price of cider?
Yeah, because it's a seasonal thing.
It's like $10 a gallon. Yeah. I could have had donuts down in Lewisburg and cider.
And the kids always see the cider. Oh, I got it. So you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't drink it.
No, but what you should do is buy the Fireball that's right next to it. And
yeah,
then
mix them together.
That's a good cocktail.
Yeah.
Fireball's tough for me to take straight.
Then you don't go to Chiefs games. Because if you don't do shots of Fireball, you don't go to a Chiefs game.
Look, man, I don't back down, dude. So I'll do it. But it ain't my favorite. But I just don't back down. Like I play golf. There's Fireball everywhere on a golf course. Like everywhere you turn.
Yeah.
In the woods when you pee, in a trash can on hole 13, and your buddy's golf bag. Fireball's
what is
everywhere.
It about golf tournaments and just golf in general? Like everybody's shooting Fireball. Speaking of which, did you see that guy whack that guy with the golf club on the course in Canada the other day?
Sometimes it'd be like that.
Whew.
Pumpkin donuts. You go to the pumpkin patch.
You get the apple donuts and whatnot.
I could have had donuts down in
Lewisburg and cider.
And French toast.
2 decades of doing this, Dusty, and that's what I'm known for.
Yep. That's crazy.
That and Brett Veachtown.
Yep.
Well, in your French toast song. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, the French toast song, too. Yeah, that's right. You got that one ready to go?
Too bad we don't have enough time because we're on the backside of a break.
Yeah.
The views are down for a certain sport, but I think I have a reason as to why they are down. Bob's going to hate it. He's going to think it's just an excuse to move on, but I'm going to make him a believer in what I have to think about this.
All right.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.